We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I am extra Dara today. I might have been a little low octane, but I got to drop the kids off at their special extracurricular math thing this morning. Then I walked around Lake of the Isles, and I saw an eagle who I think didn't know how to catch a fish. It was the most interesting thing. Like, he just kept flapping and flapping, or she just kept circling around and flapping. And I thought, oh, every time I look at a bald eagle, they look like these majestic creatures that have it all figured out. But at some point, they've got to be awkward adolescents and kind of woggle into life. And it was just fascinating. And he never caught whatever it was he was trying to catch. He went on to, you know, look for something better. And it was just a really beautiful moment. If you are a regular listener to the show, you know that that's how I recharge, right? That's how I get all the Dara energy up in here, is by looking at nature, thinking about stuff. And that may be all the nature I look at today, because I don't really want to handle the fact that it is just so cloudy and rainy and snowish and doesn't feel like spring April. Like, I'm ready for crocuses and daffodils. So I don't know. Let's maybe just everybody draw the curtains, get out the maple syrup, because we are going to talk about just sweet things that come from nature. Beth Dooley and Meta Nielsen are here. They've been on the show before. Beth, of course, is Minneapolis St. Paul's cookbook queen, James Beard Award winning, long career, our living connection to Judith Jones, who was Julia Child's cookbook editor. Like, Beth is everything. And if I ever get 5 minutes, I'm going to pigeonhole her and get her to run my life. But that's not going to happen today. Today, we're going to talk about this new book, which is exactly in, oh, I was going to say the sweet spot. It's in the sweet spot. It's exactly what I want to talk about in life right now, because I'm very interested in how we food consumers, how we can do good, make things better. And maple syrup, let's talk about it. Maple syrup has so many good things about it. It is, you know, phenomenally delicious. But on top of that, when you buy real maple syrup, you're putting money towards maple trees, to the continued existence of maple trees. And guess what? Maple trees sequester carbon. They prevent erosion. They are habitat for every kind of songbird, every kind of little chippy monkey and lichen and every little thing like that. And so it's a wildlife protection plan. You may think, I'm just having really good pancakes. But also, you're creating a better world because you're doing maple syrup. Same with honey. You know, supporting good beekeepers. You're a regular listener to this show. You know that when I get really angry at vegans, it is because they eat all of the fruits, but then they absent themselves from good beekeeping. They think, wash their hands of it. No. You want to eat fruits? You have an ethical responsibility to help the creatures that make the fruit happen. And that's honey. That's the little buzzy bees. All right. So sweet nature is like so in the sweet spot, what I want to talk about. So, Beth and Meta, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks. It's so fun to be here. Thank you.
It is fun to see you. You guys are just like, so good. It's such a relaxing thing to see women doing great work. Wow. So, as always, the book is beautiful. Now, I got to ask you, how did you know 3 years ago when you were writing and pitching this that this would be exactly what I want to talk about?
A little mind meld thing going on here, right? Yeah. Well, it just, you know, there's so much work going on in this space right now. And I think, you know, Meta brings such, you know, wonderful experience from growing up in Denmark, where they really pay attention to bright, bold flavors. And I'm going to let you talk about that. But what we tried to do was also look at everything you just talked about, you know, the value of these really lovely foods, but how to use them beyond just cookies and cakes and pancakes and things like that. They can behave as seasoning. And so when we understand that those sweet tastes can really brighten up foods. They're fabulous when you go to make a curry. It makes the curry hotter. When you go to make a salad dressing, they have some texture to them. They're sort of viscous, all of them. So you get a little more body into that salad dressing or the sauce. And so we started playing with them. We're like, wow, you can do so much with both honey and maple syrup. So that was what we began to fool around with.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just think of the sweet part of it.
Right.
But it's also got that, I don't want to say umami, but it's got that depth of flavor to it, that kind of roasty.
It does. Totally. I mean, look at the, you know, I brought you a little bit of the buckwheat honey, which is very much like molasses. It's got bitter notes to it, and it makes a beautiful barbecue sauce because you get, like you said, that umami flavor to it. So it's really interesting that way. And then the really dark maple syrup, I love using that instead of molasses. In ginger cookies and gingerbread and things like that. So there's a range of things when we begin to look at sweeteners that come in from around the world and understand that we have those same flavor ranges in our own backyard. That's where it gets really fun.
It does. I had Brian Fredrickson behind Ames Farms.
Yeah.
I had him on the show a couple of weeks ago. He's one of the great beekeepers, really pioneered that idea of single source honey. So what does that mean? That means that when dandelions are in flower, you grab all the honey and then you have dandelion honey, which is just buttery and amazing stuff. Or when the linden trees are flowering, you get that honey, you pull it out, and then you have a linden honey. And he was talking about how we really, you know, certain of those honey flavors are amazing.
Yeah.
And if we had, you know, a press bureau the way the acacia honey people do or something, like, we would have.
Exactly. No, I think that's really true. I think the other thing we're beginning to realize, and you've done such a good job of this, is like we live in a really cool place. I mean, we have a really cool local food system going on. I think we can knock California out of the water, right? I mean, we've got flavors that really reflect where we live here. And that was the other fun thing, was tasting all these different honeys that come from this particular place that don't taste like anything else, any place else in the world. So to me, that was part of the fun. It's like, what makes this place special? And honey is part of that story. In fact, Minnesota produces, I think we're number two in terms of honey production in the entire country.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, except we ship a lot of it out because we have a lot of clover honey. And so a lot of that goes out to big honey companies that then boil it down, you know, to make the processed honey. But the really good raw honey is stuff that we can find in the co-ops or at the Mill City Market or the other farmers markets.
I think that I like your idea of that we could shove California out of the way. But I also think of it as, you know, you go to Italy and they're so proud. You know, they've got like a little region up at the top. It's Emilia Romagna, and they have all their great flavors. And it's totally different than everything around Venice. And like, you know, like we can have our little region.
Absolutely.
I put a link up. So my honey and maple syrup recipes are all up at WCCORadio.com. There's nothing from Sweet Nature because you got to get the book for that. But I did have a link to the recipe that you supplied to the James Beard Foundation with your last book, which won the James Beard Award for the best cookbook in America, the one with the sous chef, which is amazing. And so that's, you have a, is it called wajapi or what?
Yes, wajapi.
Wajapi.
Yes. Yeah, it's a wonderful sauce. It's not sweet, you know, and it's made with chokecherries primarily, and they're boiled, simmered way down. And so you get this really rich, sort of tangy sauce that if you sweeten it can become a dessert, or you can use it just as it is in a salad dressing or in a base for meats as you're grilling, all kinds of different uses for it. It's delicious.
And you can use it like cranberry sauce, like you plate, you know, pork tenderloin or something and then put a little bit of
exactly.
The
it's very pretty.
Next to it. And that, I think, is the perfect example of something that is just, if the world knew how good chokecherry plus maple syrup or chokecherry plus buckwheat honey, like that would be as prized as Italian balsamic vinegar or something. Like, it's such an amazing flavor. It is so specific to here.
That's right. That's exactly right. And we're claiming place through food, right? It's great.
And and hopefully protecting the places that the food comes from, because I want there to be chokecherries.
Yeah.
I want there to be maple trees. I want all of that to continue.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. Meta, and I'm going to make some room for you in this conversation because I know you're shy and you don't like to toot your own horn. So Meta is a wonderful photographer.
Thank you.
If you get a copy of Sweet Nature, you're just going to be blown away. And tell me a little about your I feel like your aesthetic is very pinpoint right now, which is a kind of a do it as you would do it. Like it exists as it would on the table. Does it take you a while to get to there?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that's really like how I've always been. I think I've been pushed in a different direction, but this is what feels right to me. And it's the way that I light my photos. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. There's no fancy equipment involved or anything like that. It just make it really simple and let the food speak. I think that's what it's all about. I've been around for a long time and did advertising photography in the 80s, where it was all about all these, you know, crazy props and whatnot. But
glistening.
It's really about the food, you know. I just make it really simple and don't overstyle it. But I do want to put out a word to our amazing stylist, Abby Wyckoff, because her and I have worked together for many years, and it's just super fun to work with her because we are like an extension of each other. So, without her, the photos would not be the way they are. So
are the three of you just a kind of a crank it out team now? Yeah.
Oh, completely. We don't fuss around with it at all. It's just, make the food, put it out there, move a couple of things on to the next one. Don't spend too much time.
I'm going to brag about Meta for 1 second because in the first book that we really did co-write together was the Farmer's Market Cookbook. And Meta took all of those photos naturally lit without touching the food at all. I mean, and that book is so beautiful. And you just found the most beautiful. It's like you look at the food and you let it speak to you. And then you decide, I've got it, right? It's just this, she just has this incredible ability to see the beauty in things like that.
But it was really also the way that the farmers, displayed it. So I would walk, go around to farmers markets throughout the state. And a lot of people grow great food, but they don't necessarily display it well. Yeah. So that was all about. But what I wanted to add in there too, when we were talking about the honey, was as this is, the beginning of our growing season, is to really encourage people to plant all kind of flowers in their gardens and really things that bloom the entire season, because bees need to eat from the moment, like right now, you will see the few bees around there, they're trying to find food, and until frost. I mean, they have to eat the entire season. So you can't wait till you buy your little petunias or something like that. You have to have the early flowering plants. And really, the native plants are amazing because the bees, it's very easy for the bees to find the food in there. Mm-hmm. These super complex, flowers that have 18 layers of leaves, they can't find their way into finding the food in the flowers. So simple flowers, native flowers are amazing. And, just plant a lot of it and for the whole season. So we can have lots of honey.
They did not co-evolve together. I always think that when people have all of these flowers from China, and then we have bees from here, it's like, well, it's
and
not
we have
work.
So many other pollinators besides. Right. I mean, the honeybee is not native to North America. Europeans brought it over, but we have over 300 native bees, and very little is understood about our native bees. But they're tiny. They're mostly solitary bees, and they burrow into the ground in the winter, and they don't sting. They don't even look like what we think of as bees. I mean, some of them look kind of like more like flies.
Yeah, I got to learn what a sweat bee was a couple of years ago.
And the little mason bees are just amazing. And the mason bees are amazing because they really pollinate like our vegetables later in the season. We need them all. We need the butterflies. We need all the insects around us.
And we need to not feel bad about not cleaning up our yards.
Exactly.
Burrowing in there right now.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Feel fine about letting the creeping Charlie happen and clover.
And also leaving the dried stems, especially the hollow stems, because a lot of the insects overwinter in that. And they lay their eggs on the underside of the leaves. So leave them on there. Don't even move them. I mean, I just leave leaves in place. Fluff them up, if they get too matted down. But you don't have to remove them. But
yeah,
then, of course,
your life will be easier.
Yeah. I don't have grass, so I there's no grass in my yard. So that makes it easier, too. I don't have to worry about that. So.
Well, what Meta has is incredible edible garden that's absolutely gorgeous. So there are a lot of perennials. There are black currants. There are white currants. It's absolutely beautiful. And a lot of times when we do photo shoots, we just go back into her garden and pull things. And it's really spectacular.
Oh. I love how you, Meta, you're very self-effacing. You're like, everybody, when you look at this book, you're not going to think like, oh, there's just natural light. She just did it because the farmers. No, it's like exquisite photography that you could not do yourself. Mm-hmm. But I love that you guys are just like, let's stop talking about the book and let's just talk about how to support wildlife. It's all kind of one thing. And that's what's important about your body of work, Beth, is that you've been slowly adding to a body of work, which is, you know, food and environment, food and people, food and place, and Sweet Nature is the latest. Okay, I will be failing as a host if I do not let you invite people to the big party.
Oh, thank you so much. We're really excited. We're hosting a big book launch at the Birchwood Cafe at 6 o'clock on Tuesday night, and we'll have samples of the different recipes in the book so people can taste it. They can try it before they buy it, right? And it should be really fun. And we all love the Birchwood. What a great place to have it.
So, yeah, that's a really values-first place.
It is.
Tracy, who runs it, has been an inspiration in this community. So you'll be there Tuesday night at the Birchwood Cafe. Mm-hmm. Everybody, if you go, you'll get to get the book, and then maybe you can walk up and down the river and see the – and it's right by the Mississippi.
Exactly. It's going to be spring then, right?
By Tuesday. Bet the farm on it. All right. So just before we go, I will just pester you for a couple of – just favorites, just jog people's mind. What were some things that kind of came up? You said that using maple sugar was something that you hadn't thought about that much before you started working on the book.
I love maple sugar. And the reason why is that it's got more flavor than white sugar or even, you know, and it's not as strong or overpowering as brown sugar. So I've been using it as a substitute in all of my baking recipes. And I have to tell you, because it's got so many layers of flavor, I've cut way back on the amount of sugar that I use. So like the brownie recipe in our book is really terrific because it lets the chocolate come through, but then you get that sort of layer of maple in there as well. And it just makes the chocolate taste that much more chocolatey and richer and darker. I love it. And I use it in coffee and in tea and mix great sugar cookies. It's really a wonderful product. And because it costs a little more than white sugar, you really are going to use less of it too. You're going to be more mindful of it, which I think is great as well.
Oh, I love that. I always think that those, you know, people always talk about those kind of baking tricks, like you're putting in espresso powder or that's a good one, maple sugar. All right. Meta, what do you have for us?
Well, I think what I learned from this was really the amazing honey, that honey is really an asset, which I wasn't really aware of. So, but it makes a lot of sense when you start thinking about it, how it adds this extra layer of flavor into it. To me, that was really kind of astounding. I did not grow up with a lot of honey in Denmark. We had a creamed honey. It's becoming more popular, and I don't know why we don't have a big honey production, but people are definitely eating more honey now. So, and I was just in Denmark, and I brought several of the books there, so now they can cook them.
All right. So I've been talking to Beth Dooley and Meta Nielsen. Their new book is Sweet Nature, A Cook's Guide to Using Honey and Maple Syrup. Got a link to it on my Facebook page at dara.grumdahl. They will be at the Birchwood Cafe Tuesday night. Beth, Meta, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, what a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we're going to check in at WCR, the Women Chef and Restaurateurs Conference is in town. A lot of important female chefs, women chefs in the limelight. And we'll check in with Christina Nguyen when we come back. Dara here. All right. Are you noticing a change in the force, Twin Cities? That is because today kicks off the big national Women Chefs and Restaurateurs Conference. It's all starting today. For the first time ever, they are inviting the general public to the big party. This party tonight. If you don't have plans tonight, maybe this is what you want to do. You can find tickets at womenschefs.org. And you're not going to believe the just who's who of women stars of the kitchen that are cooking, including my personal Delight and Hero and the leader of Hi Hi and Ola Arepa in South Minneapolis. She is up for Best Chef Midwest from the James Beard Foundation. She is a regional treasure. Christina Nguyen is cooking tonight, and she is on the phone right now. Christina, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm always happy when I'm talking to you. All right.
Oh, me too.
Lady, tell me what's going on. You are just having a stellar year. The world is singing the praises of Christina Nguyen.
it's been a wild ride.
Well, you made a great restaurant, and everybody is a fan. And so tonight, tell me what's going on tonight.
Yeah, tonight is going to be the opening reception for the WCR. We're lucky enough to have the National Women's Chefs Restaurateurs Convention here in the Twin Cities. So we get to welcome amazing chefs from all around the country. So that's going to be exciting. And yeah, tonight the reception is open to the public, and there's going to be a lot of amazing ladies cooking up some food. So you can sample a lot of delicious stuff from all around the Twin Cities. And yeah, I'll be there.
No pressure. You're going to be cooking for stars in town like Karen Tomlinson from Corner Table and Ann Kim, who's also got all the buzz with Young Joni and all her things. And of course, Diane Mua, who is the pastry star. I have a rave about her stuff that she's doing at Demi in the magazine right now.
How are you?
I feel like when Lucia's restaurant closed, we had a bit of a sad time for women chefs in the Twin Cities. But now I feel like things are looking good. How's it look from where you stand?
I think things are looking good. I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden there are a lot of amazing women making. I mean, a lot of amazing women have always been making food here, but you know, also getting recognition for it, which is super cool.
Three of the five nominees for Best Chef Midwest this year were Twin Cities women.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I'm super excited to get to go down to Chicago with Ann and Jamie and, just see what happens.
It's very intimidating to be at those things. You step into an elevator and all of a sudden you're in there with Jacques Pepin. And you're like, oh, no, how could I possibly conduct myself for the next 90 seconds?
I do not even know what I'll do. I'm just going to turn into dust.
Exactly. That is it. Oh, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. All right, so if people want to come to the party tonight, womenschefs.org. Christina, congratulations on just your amazing year. And if anybody hasn't yet been to Hi Hi in Northeast, or I haven't been to the remodeled Ola Arepa, I got to get in there. I hear it's lovely. Then you got to go. We got to support Christina, hometown hero, taking the world by storm. All right.
Oh, thank you so much.
Christina, you're the best. Thanks for calling in. Everybody, women chefs and restaurateurs, you can go. It's happening. I don't know if you can get into the conference this late, but you poke around on the website. You might find out. And they're really trying to get people from, you know, all walks, bartenders, bakers, food service suppliers, managers, anybody who's interested in meeting people, kind of networking. Membership is $25, so you can find this all at womenschefs.org. We come back. We'll have a couple minutes. Dara here. All right, so that book that we were talking about, Sweet Nature, I've been having a lively Twitter discussion about all things maple. I am at Dear Dara, and here's what people are mainly saying, that it goes with bourbon. I don't know. That just seems to be the Twitter audience I've cultivated, but I put up a link at WCCORadio.com to, you know, five recipes the way I do. I've got Beth's berry wojape sauce, wojapi sauce, a maple old-fashioned, maple roasted squash, quick pickled apples. This is a really good thing to do with apples. You're just taking apples and a little vinegar, a little maple syrup, a couple of star anise pods. It's like so simple. You put it on a cheese board. Okay, so I've got a bunch of maple recipes up there, but everybody on Twitter just wants to talk about how good it is, easier than simple syrup, to put maple syrup in your old fashions. And you can put it in your coffee. You can do all the things. So that's, if you want to come and banter with me about maple syrup, find me at Dear Dara. Till then. All right, here's what's going on next week. Festival of Nations is happening. I did not realize that this has been happening since 1932, but it is. That's how long it's been happening. They're celebrating the world's dance, music, performance, and, of course, food. So this year in St. Paul, they're going to have 100 nations represented, and we are going to have a couple people representing those nations on this show because I love eating outside of my comfort zone. Come on. That's where all the dumplings are. Till then, may your dumplings be pillowy and your pillows be not at all dumplingy, because that would be sticky and awful. And I'll meet you here next week on Off the Menu.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.